'Tis the season for a holiday TFR. Christmas on the International Space Station. And is the pilot shortage real or fantasy? This is Aero News for Thursday, December 20th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. It may be the most wonderful time of the year, unless you happen to be a general aviation pilot or owner of an aviation business on the island of Oahu. The FAA has posted a TFR with a duration of more than 2 weeks that covers the entire island of Oahu in anticipation of President Obama's planned vacation. The TFR consists of a 10 nautical mile inner core centered on the Cocoa Head Vortac with a flat side that excludes much of the city of Honolulu, but the 30 nautical mile outer ring encompasses the entire island and surrounding ocean. Both rings extend up to flight level 180. The FAA classifies airspace defined in this NOTAM as National Defense Airspace. Pilots who do not adhere to the published procedures may be intercepted, detained, and interviewed by law enforcement and security personnel. You know the drill. Operators need to be aware that any and or all operations may be canceled with little or no advance notice. Pilots on Oahu are advised to carefully check NOTAMs before beginning any flight over the holidays. Ho, ho, ha, humbug. With temperatures well below freezing at the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, Tom Marshburn of NASA, Roman Romanenko of the Russian Federal Space Agency, and Chris Hadfield of the Canadian Space Agency launched Wednesday to the International Space Station at 0712 Eastern Standard Time. The trio will dock its Soyuz TMA-07M spacecraft to the RASVET module on the Russian segment of the space station at 0812 Eastern Standard Time Friday, December 21st. About 3 hours later, hatches between the Soyuz and the orbiting laboratory will open. Marshburn, Romanenko, and Hadfield will be greeted by Space Station Expedition 34 Commander Kevin Ford of NASA and flight engineers Oleg Novitsky and Evgeny Tarelkin of Roscosmos, who have been in orbit since late October. Marshburn, Romanenko, and Hadfield will remain aboard the station until May 2013. Ford, Novitsky, and Tarelkin will return to Earth on March 15th, when Hadfield will become the first Canadian commander of the space station. Representatives from a group of aviation industry stakeholders recently proposed to the U.S. Government Accountability Office that it launch a study to gain a better understanding of pilot supply and demand and its potential effects on the U.S. aviation industry and the U.S. economy. The group suggested topics that the GAO would consider in this study, saying, quote, "The overlying question has to be, is there a pilot shortage on the horizon, and if so, how severe could it be? How long will it last? What sector of the industry is affected first? How far is the outreach, and what are the safety and economic impacts?" End quote. The stakeholder group that worked on this proposal includes representatives from airlines, regional airlines, manufacturers, general aviation associations, and flight training providers. The X-47B unmanned combat air system demonstrator completed its first at-sea test phase aboard the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Harry S. Truman on December the 18th. The first aircraft of its kind aboard a naval vessel, the X-47B was put through a myriad of trials designed to assess the viability of an unmanned system's operation aboard a carrier. Sailors aboard Truman were offered working experience with the X-47B as crew members directed the aircraft on the flight deck and handled it in the hangar bays. With X-47B's deck testing completed, the aircraft will return to Naval Air Station Patuxent River for further testing and is scheduled to embark another carrier in mid-2013. ANN salutes Mass Communication Specialist Third Class Taylor DiMartino of the USS Harry S. Truman Public Affairs for this story. Pinnacle Airlines has reached a tentative agreement with the Airline Pilots Association, the legal representative of the Pinnacle Airlines Pilot Group, on cost reductions that cover pay, retirement, work rules, and benefits, the two sides announced on Monday. A separate agreement was reached among Pinnacle Airlines, Pinnacle Pilots, and Delta Airlines that includes long-term career opportunities and the addition of 40 CRJ-900s to the Pinnacle fleet. With this agreement, Pinnacle's long-term fleet plan has been established at 81 CRJ-900 aircraft. The CRJ-900 deliveries are planned for the fall of 2013 and are planned to be completed by year-end 2014. Pinnacle will remove its 140 CRJ-200 aircraft from the fleet over the next 2 to 3 years. ALPA members will have the opportunity to vote on the tentative agreement in January, and if approved, the changes would become effective when similar changes are implemented for Pinnacle's other labor groups and non-union employees. The tentative agreement also remains subject to approval and review by the bankruptcy court. Wind Aero News continues. The FAA issues an emergency AD for the A320 family. A spaceport under the Aurora Borealis? And looking for a year-end tax deduction?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, December 20th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA has issued an emergency AD 2012-26-51 for all Airbus model A318, A319, A320, and A321 series airplanes. The AD was prompted by a report indicating that an airplane equipped with angle of attack sensors with conic plates installed recently experienced blockage of all sensors during climb, leading to autopilot disconnection and activation of the alpha protection when Mach number was increased. EASA advised the FAA that an Airbus Model A330 airplane, equipped with angle of attack sensors installed with conic plates, recently experienced a similar condition and issued EASA Emergency Airworthiness Directive 2012-0264-E, dated December the 17th of 2012. Based on the results of subsequent analysis, it is suspected that these conic plates may have contributed to the event. Investigations are ongoing to determine just what caused the blockage of those AOA sensors. Blockage of 2 or 3 AOA sensors at the same angle may cause the alpha prot to order a pitch down of the airplane that the flight crew might not be able to counteract with a side stick deflection, even in the full backward position. This condition, if not corrected, could result in reduced control of the airplane. The FAA, therefore, said it is issuing the AD to prevent reduced control of the airplane. The FAA's AD requires revising the emergency procedures section of the Airbus A318, 319, 320, and 321 airplane flight manual to advise the flight crew of emergency procedures for addressing AOA sensor blockage. About 90 miles north of the Arctic Circle is the Swedish town of Kiruna, whose international airport offers flights to London and Tokyo. But if the plans of the Spaceport Sweden come to fruition, the town could be the site of vertical and horizontal commercial space launches. Established in 2007, Spaceport Sweden would like to offer flights within 10 years, that according to a report from the French news service AFP and relayed by Discovery News Online. The company's director, Karen Nilsdottir, said that their goal is to establish both space tourism and research flights from Sweden. Nilsdottir said that the remote location makes Kiruna ideal for commercial space activities. There is not a lot of other commercial traffic, and the area is not densely populated. It is also well within Sweden's borders, so that international bureaucratic red tape would be far less of an issue. But like so many of America's designated spaceports, Spaceport Sweden is still in search of an anchor tenant, though Nilsdottir hinted that it was working with a company that is building a spacecraft. She did not say which company that was, but Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2 is featured prominently in their YouTube videos. The Hagerstown Aviation Museum is raising money in an effort to bring a Fairchild C-123 provider aircraft to their facility for permanent display. The Fairchild Company built the airplanes along with the C-119 flying boxcar and C-82 Packet in Hagerstown from 1954 to 1958. The particular airplane to be acquired, which the museum website identifies as N-681 Delta Golf, is currently in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, according to a report from radio station WTOP in Washington, D.C. The model was extensively used during the Vietnam War as a troop and supply transport aircraft with the ability to operate from unimproved airfields. According to the museum website, the airplane would be displayed beside examples of the C-82 and C-119 already in its possession. Of the 19 aircraft the museum owns, 13 were built in Hagerstown. The museum says its ongoing mission is to preserve Hagerstown's unique 90-year aviation heritage. The museum has put out an appeal for the $70,000 that it says it needs to acquire the provider and fly it from Florida to Maryland. The Hagerstown Aviation Museum is a 501c3 nonprofit organization making contributions toward the acquisition of the airplane, tax deductible. So it seems at this Christmas season that the museum is hoping to find a provider or a group of providers to help pay for its provider. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.